moment. Joshua chapter 14. Before we read our text there, turn with me also to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, first beginning with verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went. In other words, the portion of land he spied out. And his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Now Joshua chapter 14. After 5 years of conflict in the promised land, and they begin to divide the inheritance, we hear of Caleb once again, 45 years later. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Joshua, you remember 45 years ago what the Lord said by the man of God concerning Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Amazing, this character of Caleb. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden, it's important, shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. You see how Caleb keeps giving God the glory and not himself? And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. You say, why 45? Well, 40 in the wilderness, and they've been fighting in Canaan already 5 years. So it's been 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word, unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, again, he says the word now. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. It's pretty good for an 85-year-old man. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, again now, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Not according to my strength, but as the Lord said. He doesn't say, I'm strong and I will defeat him. He again returns to give glory to God, as the Lord has said unto me. He's on the promise of God. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for inheritance. And Joshua blessed him. There is so much in this passage of Scripture, and I begin by apologizing not being able to expound on all of them. because the more I studied this passage of Scripture, the greater the depths of what is actually being revealed in this passage of Scripture got. And I had to limit my message. And I want to limit it to a portion that I haven't heard much in many sermons on Caleb. And I hope and pray that it would be an encouragement to us this morning. The life of Caleb and his faith in God's promise is truly, without doubt, a very remarkable one if one takes time to consider, especially what man doesn't see or read. And in many ways, I believe his faith in the promises of God transcends, even in many ways eclipses, the heroic and valiant acts of faith seen in men like David, Daniel, and even Abraham. For though Caleb never by faith divided the Red Sea, nor stopped the mouth of lions, nor faced a fiery furnace, nor defeated a Goliath, though later he will. In fact, his three brothers. More of that later. His faith in God's promise in many ways greatly exceeded such heroic acts of faith. Hidden from the eyes of men, yet not from God, as he wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Now listen to me carefully this morning. I really want to be a help and blessing to you. Myself being a Christian now, barely over 40 years, I can tell you how long 40 years is. Some of you ain't lived that long yet. It's a long time. But hidden from the eyes of men, yet not from God, as he wandered 40 years in the wilderness, waiting for the promise of God, and that in the midst of seemingly impossible and very difficult situations. You know who he is wandering with? Surrounded by an apostate and unbelieving generation. God would continue to test and try Caleb's faith until the divinely appointed time. Caleb says often here, "Now I want this land. Now, since the Lord promised me, give me the mountain God promised me. Now is the time." So for 45 years, even the 5 years in Canaan, and we'll see that in a few minutes, God was continually testing and trying Caleb's faith, unseen from men. We don't even have any recordings of Caleb. You look in the Bible, you'll find Caleb's in number. He'll mention a few times of what he did, and then he abruptly disappears. For 40 years, you don't hear anything from Caleb in the wilderness wanderings. First in Joshua chapter 14, do we see him appear again? He's the same Caleb. Yet his confidence and faith in God is stronger. It's amazing when you consider that. Stay with me. Like with the trying of Joseph, the psalmist said in 105, the time he was in prison, the time his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He was in prison till the word of the Lord tried him, Psalm 105. Same thing it is with Caleb. God promised Caleb 45 years ago, "I'm going to give you the land that you trodden in Canaan. I'm going to give it to you and your children forever. It's going to be yours." But Caleb had to wait 45 years. Scripture is pretty silent on those 45 years of Caleb's life. We know what the children of Israel did. We know exactly their murmurings and complainings, but we never hear of Caleb again. That one time he stands up and intercedes for Moses, as a matter of fact, He supports Moses. He tells the children of Israel, we can do this. We can take this land. Him and Joshua stood up against the people of Israel and said, we can take this. We can take this land God has promised us. And then you hear nothing more of Caleb until now. And he hasn't changed in his faith in God's promises. Are you applying this to yourself? Even though you might not have lived 40 years as a Christian yet, are you applying this to yourself? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, a lot of times we're too hasty with God's promises. In this generation, we want promises for every day, a new promise every day. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know how many promises Caleb had to sustain him for 45 years? One. One promise of God was sufficient. One. Oh, we want every day something new. One promise. I call that a very strong faith. Don't you? I believe that is what makes Caleb's faith in God's promise even more heroic and valiant than those who faced a fiery furnace or the mouth of lions. Though I am not saying that wouldn't be a trying of faith. Those men did great acts of valor in faith for God. Read Hebrews chapter 11. And I do not discredit them in any manner, form, or fashion. I pray that I would have such a strong faith as that of Daniel and of the three Hebrew children and of Moses and Abraham. But Caleb is almost like a silent faith. And I believe it's been missed by a lot of people who study Caleb. In their haste to expound on his present acts of faith, it's my mountain, I'm going to go in and I'm going to take them all, I'm going to defeat them. Instead of pondering the 45 years, unspoken years of Caleb's life, they immediately get into where his present faith. But what brought this present faith, which Caleb has? The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk says, live. Faith is not a disposition of the mind. It's a life. And I'm getting ahead of myself again, but bear with me. There's so much here I want to share with you. For many people, faith is merely an act of doing something heroic or believing in something impossible. But do you know that when we live the life of faith, our entire character, our entire being should be transformed by the faith that God gave us? Do you know that? It should affect us in our character and our conduct. His character and conduct is amazing after 45 years. He makes one word, he speaks one word towards the 10 spies, but you sense no bitterness in Caleb's voice. You sense no anger towards the people of God. Well, they made me wander 40 years. Now it's time for me to take my... You don't sense any of that. Caleb is concentrated on what God promised him. His character is amazing after 45 years of wandering with the people whose hearts melted and denied him the promised land. It's amazing how the generation we live in today doesn't concentrate much on character anymore. People boasting about having a great faith in God, and yet their character lacks. God is good and gracious, and will uphold nothing from him that walketh uprightly. Do you know, if you look through the history of God's saints, you'll find out that a lot of times what we admire in a man is something that God doesn't overlook, but it's not what God sees. Like Job. We look at Job and we say, man, look at Job. Job's faith was great. Look at how Job suffered afflictions. But you know what God brought forth in front of Satan? It wasn't his ability to pray. He said, no, look at him. He escheweth evil. He's a righteous man. He's upright. He looked at his character, his conduct. God says, no, this is what God sees. We look at Job's fiery trials. We can relate to that. Same thing with Daniel. Daniel's in the lion's den. We're going, whoa, man, I'm telling you, look at this. Look at the faith he's got. Gets in the lion's den. No, if you look at that, you'll find out that the people admired his character. He was a perfect man. There was no cause of sin in him. They said, man, he's upright. Even David. Man, we want to defeat Goliath, don't we? Man, we're thinking, we hear that story and say, we want to be like David. We want to go out and just defeat our Goliath. God says, no, this is a man after my own heart. You see, God looks differently at us than men do. We admire men for their actions. God admires men for their hearts, the condition of their hearts. Don't ever forget that. Plays an important part here with Caleb. I think Caleb would have let bitterness and anger enter into his hearts for them 40 years. He'd have never been able to make this stand here in Joshua chapter 14. And a lot of people who expound on Caleb forget that. They jump right to his present act of faith. Look at he's going to be doing amazing things. 45 years is a long time. It's amazing. It's amazing and often beyond our comprehension how God sovereignly chooses to test and try the believer's faith. Think about that in your own life. Each unique and of itself personal, yet precious in the sight of God. God tries our faith individually as He knows us to be, as He created us to be. You might not be a Daniel, or one of the three Hebrew children, or a David, but you might be a Caleb. You might be someone that is not widely spoken of, and someone who God tries His faith and tests His faith in the wilderness, silence of the wilderness. Nobody sees it. Nobody recognizes it for 40 years. I'm telling you, we have a great misunderstanding of not only faith, but how God tries our faith individually. Oftentimes, God tries our faith not in the public arena for everyone to behold, but in the secret confines of our own heart. Hidden from the eyes of the world, God would often try our faith the greatest. Like Caleb. You ever wonder what Caleb did them 40 years? Until the time of his word, the word of the Lord tries us. And when the time's right, God's timing, then faith is made manifest. Isn't it amazing? You say, preacher, I don't know if I can wait 40 years for God. Caleb did. So like I said, you know what we want? Every day we read in Scripture, we're always looking for a new promise. It's like the promise God gave us before is not sufficient for today. I've got written in my Bible, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, right here, I've got lines of them all the way back to 1985. Promises that God gave me so that I wouldn't forget that every promise of God is just as valuable, just as important, just as precious as the next one. Caleb had one promise of God. Is it any wonder that we're so flexible in our faith? So wavering in our faith? We think we always have to have something new from God. Sometimes it's in those unseen hours, those unseen times in our life that God tries us the most. And then when faith is called upon, then it greatly glorifies God. But it wasn't something that just came from heaven. This is what's wrong with this new charismatic church. They want emotions. They want something for the moment. They want to feel good all the time. Let me tell you, sometimes the trying of your faith don't feel good. And I'm sure Caleb didn't prance around the camp of Israelites going, "You're not going into the land, but I am." David just didn't suddenly appear on the scene and fight Goliath and defeat him. No, David had to learn to fight a lion and a bear first in the privacy of a pasture alone with God. He had to learn how to fight them first before he met a Goliath. God's not going to prepare you for great things until He's prepared you for the little things. Daniel was not thrown to the lion's den as a yet young lad. Daniel had been around for a while. And Joseph, well, we all know about Joseph. Joseph had to first dwell in the dark of prison before he was able to sit on the throne. It takes a while. Often it's when it's what we learn alone with God. Listen to me. Often it's what we learn alone with God which enables us to live out the life of faith like Caleb. For 45 years, you hear no voice of Caleb. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Even when they crossed Jordan, I think most Christians today would say, all right, God promised me my land. We're across the Jordan. I'm gone. No, he fights 5 years. He fights 5 years side by side with his brethren. He waits until they begin to take the inheritance, divide the inheritance. And then he comes up and says, okay, now. Look at the character of Caleb. Amazing. A man of great humility and yet a man of great faith. A man of compassion and yet a man of consistency, determination, courage. He had great character. What built that character was God during the wilderness. True faith, dearly beloved, shines more glorious and separates it more from the dross of our unbelief when refined by fiery trials. God gave him a promise. And think about that. 45 years. The man is 85. You know, he had even greater patience and faith than Abraham. You know that? Mm-hmm. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham couldn't wait. Remember, he tried to make it happen? Yeah. Sarah. So in many ways, Caleb had a greater faith than Abraham. Yet do we hear that? I believe we're all going to be surprised when we all stand before God and realize that it wasn't the great Davids and Daniels and Abrahams that God is going to recognize the most. It's going to be those that were unseen and unheard of men, but not unseen and not unheard by God. We all want to do great things, but that's basically to be seen of men. What about God? Some of the greatest missionaries went for years without having fruit. Some of them died before fruit. You know that? We greatly misunderstand what faith is and what it is to live by faith. Churches like ours get started in a small plant. Nothing happens after 2 or 3 years. People start getting frustrated and try to make something happen. And I can understand that. Believe me, I'm a pastor. Pastor a few churches. I can understand the anticipation. I can understand the temptation to want to start something. Make something happen. You can't do that till God does something, right? Take Caleb as an example. Could you wait 40 years? And still have the same confidence and character as Caleb? Here in Joshua chapter 14. This is what really surprises me over the years in the books I've read, and I've read quite a few of them, sermons I've heard, that people pass over these 45 years as though it was nothing. They just wipe them away. Well, no, don't do that. Don't do that. 45 years is a long time. And yet you see the man Caleb stand here in front of Joshua after 45 years. With a stronger faith and confidence in God's promises and a character which humbles us all. Character because he didn't go out and try to get it on his own. Follow me, I'm throwing these things out here for you to just take, okay? I know a lot of them's got a precise, you know, systematic 1, 2, 3 points. I'm just throwing these things out. I want you to catch the gist of what Caleb's life and his faith was so that you might apply it to your own self. He didn't try to go out on his own. Like many Christians today, I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need all that stuff. I can go out and get my spiritual blessings on my own. I don't need those things. Caleb didn't do that. Caleb had a promise from God. And he even said it came from the man of God. You see how he admires Moses. He calls him the man of God. He acknowledges him, that God spoke through the man of God. You see, he hasn't lost that. He's not prideful or arrogant. But he doesn't break out on his own and go directly to these mountains. No, he fights side by side for 5 years. Again, those 5 years might have been longer than the 40. He's in the land. He can go ahead and get his land, but no, he's fighting side by side with his brethren for their lands. This man's got character. I get tired of these wimpy Christians who give up on the church and brothers and sisters because they have some kind of a problem seeing eye to eye. They can't work things out. I'm telling you, look at Caleb for an example. He fought 5 years and waited until Joshua and the elders started dividing the country. And then he came up and said, now that we're at this point of dividing the inheritance, now is time for me to take my land. What an amazing man. What an amazing Christian. Doesn't break out on his own, but he goes to Joshua. Joshua is the leader. He doesn't say, oh, I don't need Joshua. God's promised me this. I can just go get it. No, he comes up and he approaches Joshua. He says, now you remember, Joshua. You remember what the Lord spoke unto you and me. You remember that. He's seeking, and again, Joshua does later on bless him. I think that's what Caleb was looking for, was Joshua's blessing. You see the humility of Caleb? He's got all this courage and strength. I'm strong. I can do it. I can overtake him by God's grace and God's strength. God will help me. I'll take that mountain. I'll deliver it to my people. I can do it. But he's looking for Joshua's blessing. So Joshua blesses him. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing that this kind of man, listen to me, this kind of man, this kind of character, this kind of faith, this kind of courage arises out of after 45 years of wandering or 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and 5 years of battling other people's battles, we still see this man's character. We still see how he lived his faith and his example unto us all. So much faith in God. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee. You know, after that account of the spies, we hear often of Joshua. In fact, the book we're reading from has got his title. We hear often of Joshua. We never hear about Caleb. As abruptly as he shows, so he abruptly disappears from the scene. You don't hear him anywhere. One promise of God given 45 years ago. That amazes me. One promise of God given 45 years ago. One promise of God sustained and kept him for 45 years. It not only sustained and kept him, but, beloved, his faith in that one promise over 45 years until he could now say, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake to that day. It not only sustained him, but it also encouraged him. And yet, for me, that which most amazingly affects me concerning his faith in God's promises after 45 years is that those 40 years were spent in the wilderness wanderings. And that with an apostate and unbelieving generation. And the same people whose heart melted in unbelief. Now, Scripture is silent, so it's kind of hard for us to discern or to know what happened during that 40 years in the wilderness. But if you've read through the first 5 books of Moses, especially Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll realize that the people in the wilderness, they murmured all the time. They complained all the time. They were always complaining about not having water and food. They complained to Moses all the time. They were constantly complaining. You never hear of Caleb in any of that. I believe the testimony we have before us in Joshua 14 proves he wasn't in the midst of those complaining. He ate the same manna, the same quail. He saw the same pillar of fire at nighttime, pillar of smoke in the daytime. He drank the same water out of the rock. He's seen everything they did. yet you don't hear one sound from Caleb. You don't even hear him standing up for Moses again. It's as though Caleb took that one promise God gave him and he settled his heart in it. And no matter what happened, whether they murmured, whether they complained, whether they bickered, fought, it didn't matter. Caleb kept that one promise and it made him, sustained him throughout the 40 years of wandering. And it didn't taint his character. This is what I want to really emphasize this morning. It did not taint his character. You know what I've seen over the years as a pastor? People who profess a lot of faith in God, yet their character contradicts their expression or their profession of faith. If you have faith in God, why is your character and your conduct so contradictory to what faith is? Faith is more than moving mountains. We live by that faith. And we can see here in Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, he actually lived by that faith. That one promise sustained and kept him. Not only to maintain faith in God and his promise, but also it cultivated his character. It made him who he was. So that when they crossed Canaan, he didn't rush off by himself. He said, no, I'll fight side by side. Until the time's right. And when the time's right, I'm still not going to rush off on my own. I'm going to go to the man of God and I'm going to say, I seek your blessings. You see how unified he was with God's people? I've never in 40 years seen so much division and schism among God's people. And everybody is right. Everybody's right. How can everybody be right and there be such division? Look at Caleb. Like I said, I don't know about you, but fighting 5 years, he could have been killed. But he says, God's kept me alive, as you can see, as he promised. God kept me alive. He even fought those 5 years, believing that God's going to sustain him, and he'll still see his. That's an amazing character to me. And the patience he had to wait for the right timing. Evidence of God's faith. Caleb was different. Many believers today are looking for ideal and comfortable situations in which their faith can be tried. That or they grow impatient, like I said, with God's promises. They look incessantly for new and even more promises of God that they might be more assured. Okay, well, God gave me a promise yesterday. Well, I need a new one for today. Yesterday's is old. No, yeah. Caleb had won. And he waited on God. Have you ever realized Scripture speaks a lot about faith and waiting in one sentence? We read Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Something tells me you need courage to wait on God. And I think that courage is not so much against the adversaries as it is against yourself. Do you know that? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, twice. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. We can't wait. We live in a hectic world. Our times, our days are hectic. I go to work in the morning. I've got duties I have to do. And I'm constantly doing things just like you are. Every time I walk down through the hallway, there's 15 people ask me to do something. And I'm constantly on a time schedule. Do you got this? Now, state's fixing to come in the building. Life safety. So do I have this prepared? Do I have that prepared? Do I have life safety all filled out? Do I have my paperwork filled out? And it's all on a time schedule. Well, the vendor's going to be here tomorrow. The vendor's going to be there, you know, today or whatever. And the same thing with you. Our days are always hectic. Waiting is not an option, we think. Let me tell you what you ought to do if you got time. If you don't make it, get alone somewhere. You and God. I'm not saying get alone for 40 years, you'd be a hermit. But get alone with God in the Word of God. And exercise a virtue that has long, long been wasted and gone in this generation called meditation. Let things around you, even creation itself, read the psalmist, let them motivate you. Past few weeks, been sitting out in my backyard. I've got a 30-foot pecan tree. I climbed a 30-foot ladder and scared my wife to death, cut down a limb yesterday. I got one more to do eventually. Lord willing, I'll do it without breaking my neck. When it's all finished, you can see the sky more. And I was sitting out there yesterday. And these Texas vultures, do you ever notice that they can go really high? Have you ever noticed them? Man, they get up there. I mean, you can barely see a fleck, and they just soar. I told Connie, I said, they're not looking for food, not that high up. I said, they're enjoying the creation. Don't get me wrong with this, but we're too stupid to do that. Take it in. The butterflies, singing of the birds, nature blooming, especially this time of year. Use everything God's given you. Even though we don't hear a lot about what Caleb did for 40 years, I'm sure he didn't complain like the other ones, but I'm telling you one thing, I believe God always, throughout them 40 years, always gave Caleb an assurance. You know what some of those things were? I think one of them was the pillar of fire. Caleb's like, yeah, God's still with us. Still leading us at night. Pillar of smoke in the daytime. Yeah, that's God. He promised me I'd get there. I'm going to get there. How do you know, Caleb? Look at that pillar of smoke. Look at that pillar of fire. Well, how are you going to get there? Well, he's going to sustain us. He sends us bread out of heaven. And you know what? My God is so big, he can bring water out of a rock. Oh, yeah, God's going to get me there. And over them 45 years, God worked on his faith and tested it and tried it. And then when the time came, listen to me, when the time came, Caleb was ready to take the promises of God. Our problem is we're not ready when the promises come. Mend your nets. Amen? And Christ seen them mending their nets. We're fishers of men. But preacher, we've been throwing this net out. These flyers out. These gospels out so often. Remember Peter? Lord, we've been casting all night. There's nothing in the net. Lord said, no, I'm not casting it on the other side. Well, we've caught nothing, but according to your word, they threw it over and the net was full. You know what happens if we're not mending our nets? And you know what happens if we're not like Caleb and we're paying attention? When God does provide, when God does say now, we're not ready. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for God is my expectation. For my expectation cometh from him. My soul waiteth upon God. Now let me read one we're all familiar with, Isaiah chapter 40. You can turn there if you want. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I'll read it. Well, let's start with 28 because they're so good. Hast thou not known, Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint, be weary. Isaiah 40, 30. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renewing. It's not giving new strength. He's renewing something you already have. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Sounds like Caleb, don't it? Waiting on the Lord's timing, dearly beloved, takes a courage which can only be found in faith. Faith in the promises of God. which in turn, by our waiting, only encourages and strengthens our faith in God's promises. That's what happened to Caleb. You know how long Abraham waited for Isaac? 25 years. David waited 15 years before he sat on the throne. Joseph waited 13 years. Caleb waited 45. 45 years. But those 45 years were not wasted time. You can tell that by his testimony in Joshua chapter 14. And so often we skip over that because we are in a generation that wants all the blessings now. Stop and consider you that wants Caleb's blessings. It took him 45 years. Can we wait that long? In all that time, God was preparing Caleb and David and Joshua. And the divine evidence that they're trying of his faith in God's promise was seen not only in his trust and confidence in God to fulfill the promise, but also in his character and conduct after waiting 45 years. That's really, to be honest with you, that's what amazes me the most. Oh, I know he went to Hebron. He went to where the Anakims, the giants, were at, probably the toughest part in Canaan. I realize that. That doesn't impress me. I mean, that's good. It doesn't impress me. We all want to defeat giants. What impresses me that after 45 years, Caleb is still a good man. That impresses me. That makes me want to step back and think, whoa, wait a minute. Many want the faith of Caleb to conquer the giants. How about we want the faith of a Caleb that transforms character? I think that would be the better option. Don't you? God gave Caleb a promise 45 years ago. He had a different spirit, Numbers 14 said. God gave him that promise, and Caleb took it, and he held on to it. And he feasted on that one promise for 45 years. Never got dull, never got boring. And even these 5 years in Canaan, fighting side by side with his brethren, not once do you hear Caleb complain. Can we hurry this up so I can get to my land? He said, no, he fought side by side. Oh, and then that day came. Joshua and the elders got the people together and said, now we're going to divide the inheritance. Caleb says, now. First time in 45 years, we hear the voice of Caleb. And it's one of courage, faith, consistency, devotion, and character. You want to go out of this life saying, oh, I had a faith that moved mountains. Or I had a heart. A heart that glorified God. A lot of things to learn where Scripture is silent. But in many ways, it's not, if we just read it and look at it. Follow Caleb's example. Wait on God. He gives you a promise. Be patient. Wait on it. But while you're waiting, learn something about yourself, about God, and build on that promise. And when God's time is right, when the word of the Lord tries us like it did Joseph and everyone else God loves and tries, when that time comes, beloved, like Caleb, we can stand up and say, now. And he did. He went there and defeated them. And his children inherited that land. It was the land he walked on when he was in the promised land. It wasn't the land the others walked on. It was the land he trotted on. Evidently, some believe just Joshua and Caleb went there. I don't know if that's true or not, because the other ones must have seen the giants because they mentioned them. But I know Joshua and Caleb went there. God said, no, you went there. That's where you're getting. It's amazing how God answers prayers. You know, I think in his heart, Caleb came back and said, you know, I want that land. I think he saw that. Even with the giants, he said, I want that land. I don't think God just said, okay, well, let me see. I'll give you this. He said, no, you trotted there. You seen it. You liked it. I'm giving it to you. You know what John Knox said? John Knox in praying said, give me Scotland or let me die. What'd God do? God gave him Scotland. May we have the same faith as Caleb. Though it takes long for God to fulfill the promise, may we learn while we're waiting. And may we be an encouragement to others. So when the promise does come, we, like Caleb, can say now, give me that mountain that the Lord gave me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Caleb. We thank you, Lord, for the working of grace in his heart. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, these encouraging words we find in your word from Caleb. Lord, help us, Lord, we pray, that we might learn from this man and his faith. Help us, Lord, not only to desire to move mountains, but, Lord, help us most of all that we would live our faith, and that in such a manner that our conduct and our character would reflect our faith in God's promises. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. Be with us now as we partake of the Lord's Supper. May you be honored and glorified in all things. And Lord, we love you and thank you for all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.